The question that was asked is that why should I care or should I be invested that the person that I date, the person that I'm married to, should be a Ben Torah? The question is asked on the premise that we know that it's important. We heard this in seminary, we heard this in school, and we know that we were told that it's important to marry a Ben Torah and someone who is in some form of learning. We'll talk about the different ranges in a moment. And the question is, why is it intellectually important? I want to understand why this should be a meaningful part of my life and why this should be a focal point of how I look for a spouse. Now, I'll be honest with you. I hate talking about dating. It's one of my least favorite topics to talk about. I don't enjoy it whatsoever. But because the question has come up a number of times in different ways, I feel that it's important to address it. And to talk about it totally. I'm going to ask just a little hold. I'm happy to take all questions at the end. I just want to say the whole thing first, and we can ask questions in particular at the end. The other caveat before I begin is as follows, and that is that the question is different, and we're speaking direct, and we're speaking openly and honestly. The question is different if you grew up in a home where you saw a father or brothers who were kovei itim, and if you didn't. If you grew up in a home and you saw that and you had a positive experience that the men in the family and the father was learning seriously in some form, so then you're probably less intrigued by the question because that's what you saw in your household. If you didn't grow up with that, so the question is probably more intriguing because, yes, you understand that this is what you were told, you know, by Moros and Mechanchos and Rebbeim in seminary, but why? I don't see it and I don't have this experience that I understand the value. And therefore, we're going to try to cover it totally based on whether you grew up in such a house or you didn't grow up in such a house. Let's begin with the first point. And that is that before we begin any discussion about why being interested in marrying a Ben Torah is important, is first understand that the Torah and the learning of Torah is one of, if not the most important pillar of Yiddishkeit and being a Jew. Rashi says in the beginning of the Torah, Bereshis bara Elokim es haShemayim ves haAretz, that in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. And Rashi says, Ein haMikra zeh omer ela dor sheni. The pasuk is screaming out to be explained because the syntax of the pasuk doesn't make any sense. What was created in the beginning? It doesn't have the proper verb or noun in the beginning of the pasuk. This is the first Rashi in the Torah. So Rashi says, Kama shedarshuhu rabbeinu. And therefore, the rabbis have made a drasha, a deeper level of interpretation, b'shvil haTorah shenikreis reishis darko, that the Torah was created, that the world's created because of the Torah and the learning of Torah. Obviously, the learning of Torah is a very important thing, that the whole world was created just so that Am Yisrael can learn Torah. We say every morning in davening, b'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, there's no greater thing that a person can do than the learning of Torah. It carries the most weight vis-a-vis all the different paths of Avodas Hashem. The Zohar tells us, Istakel ba'oraisa ubara alma, that Hashem looked into the Torah as a blueprint in order to create the world. And perhaps one of the greatest essays on the importance of Torah is the Ramban's Hakdamah to the Torah, the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Bereishis. This is really an introduction to the entirety of the Torah. The Ramban lays out in the most beautiful and profound way that the Torah contains all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge and everything, single thing that a person would ever need to function in the world. And obviously, therefore, says the Ramban, the learning of Torah is the greatest way in order to become an Eved Hashem. Tanya, the first Rebbe of Chabad, writes in Perek Daled that when a person learns the Torah, it is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraces them. V'yimino sechabkeni, says the Pasuk, that Hashem, when we learn Torah, embraces us, so to speak, kaviyachol, with his right hand. And in addition, it is mazon l'neshamos, says the Baal HaTanya. That the learning of Torah literally feeds the neshama. Just like a person needs to have the right amount of protein and starches and vegetables and vitamins in their diet, so too the neshama needs Torah in order to be a healthy neshama. And finally, Reb Chaim of Elazhin writes in the Nefesh HaChaim, which is probably the greatest love letter that Klal Yisrael has to the learning of Torah. He writes in Shaar HaDal that the learning of Torah sustains the world, and being mevatel Torah actually damages the world. And the Reb Chaim V'Lazhin says that the Torah would cease to be learned even for one moment in the world. If there was a single moment in the world that no Jew was learning Torah, then the world would revert back to tohu vavohu. The world would go back to nothingness because, as Rashi said, b'shvil haTorah, because of learning the Torah, the world was created. And therefore, it's important to understand that metaphysically, on a spiritual level, on a ruchni level, the learning of Torah is incredibly critical. Now, you'll say, but I also learn Torah. So I learn Torah, and my husband learns Torah. So then, it seems to be, you know, what's the difference? So the Gemara says in Maseches Chidushim and Maseches Sota that there is no overarching mitzvah of Talmud Torah for a woman. There is the importance to learn the mitzvah she needs to know. She needs the halachas that are relevant to her. She has to have musar and munah hashkafa. But there's no overarching mitzvah that a woman needs to learn Torah all day, every day. She gets schar, but as we know, a mitzvah va'osa is greater than an eina mitzvah va'osa. Someone who's commanded to learn Torah has more schar, more reward, than someone who's not commanded to learn Torah, like we find by all other mitzvahs. But there is a constant mitzvah for a man. This is a Gemara Menachos and Daf Sadites. And the Gemara brings the pasuk, Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha. The words of Torah shall not leave your mouth. V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. You should engage in it. You should study it day and night. Every free moment that a man has, he is chayev mida'oraisa in the midst of Talmud Torah. The Gemara goes on to tell the story of the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, who came to his uncle and said that I learned kol ha-Torah kula. Am I allowed to learn chachma yivanis, Greek philosophy? And Rabbi Yishmael told his nephew, but it says, Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah zemi picha, v'gisa v'yama v'layla. And he tells him, go and find and see. If you can find a time on the clock that's neither day nor night, then you can go and learn Greek philosophy. But if not, v'gisa v'yama v'layla. You're chayav to learning Torah. Now, this is sometimes difficult for someone to understand if they're not exposed to this idea. And it's true. This is not a Musar Shus for men, but it's true. If a man has free time and he's not spending time with his family and spending time with his wife, or he's not at his job and he's not taking a few minutes to relax to collect himself, he's chayiv in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There is no free time. If he has free time and he has nothing else going on, and not a chesed and not a tzedakah, he's chayiv in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And if he's not learning Torah, then he is being mevatel Torah. And it's not an exaggeration. It's real. And sometimes men have trouble understanding this. And certainly a wife also can have trouble understanding this. I don't understand. Nothing else is going on. Why does he have to go to Nitzer? Why does he have to have a chavrusa? Why does he have to go to a shir? Because he has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If he has free time and there's no other responsibilities, and obviously that statement, no other responsibilities, carries a lot of weight behind it, because every person is different. We'll talk about that. But if a man has free time, he's chayev to be learning Torah. Now, why should the husband's Torah be valuable to you? That's his problem. He has to take care of it. That's between him and Hashem, bein adam l'makom. But why is that important to me? So I want to explain to you a few ideas of why it should be important, why the husband's Torah should be chashuv to you. First of all, it shows that Torah reigns supreme. And by participating in Talmud Torah, it's partaking in the Tachlis HaBriah. If it's true that the world was created for Torah, then by you allowing and engaging and facilitating the learning of Torah, so then you are partaking as well in the purpose of creation. Eitz Chayim Hi L'machazikim Ba. The Torah is a tree of life to those who are machazik, who support it, says the Gemara. Not just those who hold on to it, but those who support and allow others to learn Torah. The Torah is a tree of life. And when the husband learns Torah, it brings all of the zichuyos, all of the brachos, all of the ruchnias that Torah brings to a person, that the Sfarim we quoted about before say, it brings that and instills it inside the home. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in the negative way, kol bayis she'ein divrei Torah nishmayim bo b'layla, eish ochloso. Any house that does not have Torah being learnt in it at night, fire will consume that house. And on the other side of the coin, the Gemara says in Erevin, kol bayis shenishmayim bo divrei Torah b'layla, shuv ein erecha. But any house that has Torah being learnt in it will not suffer and be destroyed. Now, it doesn't have to be in the house, literally, but it means that the learning of Torah is taking place within the household, within the connection to the house. It makes a difference. It physically, spiritually enhances and raises up such a home. Besides, for the general positive impact that it has on the home and the children. If you want a home that's going to have Torah values, whatever you think those Torah values are, then the husband needs to learn those Torah values and bring those values into the house. How do you expect all of those Torah values that you hold to be true about honesty and chesed and righteousness and spirituality and emunah and bitachon, where do you expect that to come from? Where's that? If the husband's not learning Torah, it's not going to seep into the walls. It needs to be brought into the home because someone is going to be learning that Torah and bringing those messages into the household. The husband should set the tone for the Torah values in the house. And if the husband takes learning seriously, then the children will see that's important. And I'm telling you, from seeing it from my own children, there is no greater nachas to a parent than seeing their child grow in Avodas Hashem. Baruch Hashem, this year I made a bar mitzvah for my eldest son. The highlight by far of the bar mitzvah for me was to see my son make a siman masechta. That's not going to happen unless the child sees that it's also interesting to the parents, that the father's also learning. If the child doesn't see that, they're not going to be interested. It's going to be a chore. But it was by far the most meaningful thing. And if you want to have that nachas, you have to set the tone in the house that there's going to be Torah there. There's a better chance of seeing nachas 100% if the father's learning Torah, for sure. And it's being done with beauty, and it's being done with shalom and happiness and peace. There's going to be a better chance the children are going to be interested in that as well. And if the man doesn't develop his kochos in learning when he's young, what's going to be when he's retired? I want you to talk to the wives of husbands who retired too early when they left work and they weren't in learning. I want you to talk to their wives and see how annoying it is that their husband's home all the time, sitting on the computer or on his phone, scrolling through, and maybe goes and plays a round of golf in the summer or the spring, and maybe goes out with his friends to a restaurant once in a while. But if you want it to be that in your, you know, retirement years, which is very, very far off for everybody here, that you want that the husband should be learning and should be filled with his time with spiritual things, it's not going to click when he's 75. If he hasn't gotten in the habit of learning, all of a sudden he's not going to go to 75. Ooh, 75, I should probably go back to kollel now. That's not going to happen unless he's in that habit of taking Torah seriously. He's going to be bored and have nothing to do. So better get him in that habit now as well. And the last point about the particular, you know, positive impact on you and the children in the home is that we have to understand this is the best possible life. Rav Mordechai Miller, who's the founder of Gateshead Seminary, whose beautiful Sabbath Shiurim are learnt in many different places, studied over Shabbos. He was a Talmud of Dessler. So his son quotes him saying that, "I don't want girls to sacrifice to marry a Ben Torah. I don't want a girl to say, I need nothing, so I'll marry a Ben Torah. I want a girl to say, I want to have it all, so I'll marry a Ben Torah. It's the richest, most satisfying life." Now, again, it could be he's talking about kollel. I'm not even talking about kollel. But a person to understand that have a husband that you're dating and going to marry, that he learns Torah, is the richest, most satisfying life. And he would add, don't marry a Ben Torah because you're from. Marry a Ben Torah because you're clever. Because it's the smartest thing to do. It's the best possible life. It's not a sign of how from I am. It's because this is literally the best thing that I can have. A husband also wants to know what's important. And if you want a husband who's going to have the values in the right way, the Mesillas Yesharim tells us in the first parak, Macho Vasa Ba'olamo. What is our purpose in this world? And if the man realizes this is a world that's preparation for a longer, bigger, better life, he's going to be involved in preparing himself. And you're going to have that Hashkafas HaTorah as well in the household. To have a husband who doesn't take learning as a priority, and this is critical, it's not a lack of frumkeit. It doesn't mean like he's not as religious as he could be. It's a lack of the ikker missing in what's supposed to be. Talmud Torah, as we showed at the beginning, should be the central focus for a person, for a man, without question. That should be his central mitzvah, the thing that he is thinking about the most. If you want a husband who's focused on the most important thing in his Avodas Hashem, then you should want a husband, you should be looking for someone whose learning of Torah is the center of their day. Again, we'll talk about what is a Ben Torah in a second, and how much learning, that we can get to in a second. But the learning of Torah, whether he is a computer programmer or whether he's a Rosh Yeshiva, the learning of Torah becomes the center of his day. L'mashal, it would be like me telling you that, you know, oh, there's a woman, she doesn't think that, like, lighting Shabbos candles is, like, such a big deal. She gets what she can, but, like, you know, sometimes things are busy, and, like, you know, sometimes she's, like, watching the game before Shabbos, so she can't get to it. So, you know, whatever. Can you imagine such a thing? A woman saying, oh, lighting candles, it's, like, it's nice if I can do it, and sometimes I get to it, I go to a shiur about lighting candles, but, like, whatever, it's not such a big deal. Lighting candles for a Jewish woman, a household, is a central focus of her week. It's something that her week looks forward to, so she davens for her family. It's an important mitzvah. It's the same thing. For a man to not learn Torah, not have Torah as the center and the most important thing he does, is like a woman saying, either like Taras Mishpacha or lighting candles, it's like whatever. It's like a nice thing, but like it's not so important to me. That's the level that we're talking about. We could give countless of examples from the history of Klal Yisrael of the repetition of again and again of great women who saw the value in that. Perhaps most famously, Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva says in the Gemara in Ksubis, Shali v'shalchem shalai, right? For what I have and you have is heard. They understood that their ability to succeed in learning, whatever that learning may be, comes from the help and the support of the wife. The Noda de Behuda writes about this in his drushes about his wife as well. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes it in his letters about the ability and the chashivas he gave to his wife because she allowed him to pursue learning. This we find throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, which then leads to the following question, and that is, what is a Ben Torah? So again, that is a series of multiple shiurim on its own, but let's try to summarize the basic premise right now. And you can have a range of all different types of things. You can have, now, the range I'm about to say is not a range in better versus worse. It's a range of amount, okay, the amount. You can have someone who's learning in Kollel, and literally the whole day, morning, afternoon, and night, revolves around him learning Torah. And that is his full-time job. And that's an amazing and beautiful thing. We'll talk about that a little bit in a moment as well. And just to allay the discussion where people often say, you know, isn't it the husband's job that he has to, it says in the Ksub, he has to support the wife and he has to be give everything she has and he shouldn't be learning while she's working and that's backwards, not the way the world was. It's not exactly 100% a correct point. The Gemara has a debate in Kedushin whether it's better for a person to get into learning or get married first or make a parnasa first. And there, the Ran says that people explain the Gemara to mean that their wives were misaskos b'malachas habayis b'masad matan, that even in the days of the Gemara, the wives were working, and the husband was efshar la'anashim lilmod, and the husband was able to learn. And the Gemara entertains such a possibility. The Ritva says the same thing as well. The Vilna Gaon says the same thing in the Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Yeridei as well. And many, many, many Gedol Yisrael say that it was even the minhag all the way back to the Gemara that there were people that the wives did work and the husband wasn't kollel. So it's not something that was invented like in the 1950s with the founding of Lakewood. They existed beforehand. But again, our discussion right now is not about the history of kollel in America or Eretz Yisrael. You could have someone who's going to Avodas HaKodesh, who has less time for their own personal learning. Now, I just want to make a comment here. Just because a person actively pursues a career in Avodas HaKodesh or is in Kollel does not necessarily mean that Torah is the center of their life. A lot of people do things because they think it's from or they think it's religious and it's outwardly a nice thing to do. I'm saying this to you because it's important not to see a label that says Kollel or a label that says Avodas HaKodesh and think, oh, guaranteed Torah all the time. You have to make sure the person is, you know, sincere in that particular pursuit. Then you could have a person who, again, we're going from more Torah to less Torah. You could have a person who gets up early in the morning for Seder and has a morning Seder for an hour before work, which is an incredibly chashuv thing. You could have a person who comes out at night and goes to a night Seder after 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and learns for an hour, 2 hours. And that's also a very impressive thing as well, that they dedicate a full chunk of the day that it becomes sacrosanct and Yahar Gval Yavar to keep those Siddurim and to make sure they're learning either day or night or even both if possible. Then you have people who have, you know, maybe they have a set Seder with a Chavrusa for a few minutes, or they go to a particular Shir every night or once a week, or a person does Daf Yomi, they have a Yomi Seder, Mishnah Yomi, Daf Yomi, Amud Yomi, Rambam Yomi, Mesil Sisharim Yomi, you can find a Yomi for anything you want, and they have their Kaveya Itim in that way as well. Now, I'm going to describe an ideal that we're talking about right now, but you have to understand there are variations in regard to everybody's Ruchnias. Not either one of these people are better or worse. Circumstances in life dictate that people are able to do certain things, depending on kochos hanefesh, depending on financial circumstances. There's a whole range of reasons. And chas v'shalom to judge and say that this person is a bigger or a better ben Torah because of the amount of quantity that he is learning Torah. And that's an important point we're going to stress in a moment as well. Which leads to the question, so what is a ben Torah? It is not learning in quantity. Just because a person has a kollel seder does not mean they are a greater ben Torah than someone who is, you know, going to a shir at night or being kovei itim on their lunch break. It is someone who relates to when he learns as the centerpiece of his day. Even if it's for an hour a day, on the 24-hour clock, the learning is the thing that keeps him going. And this is how Rav Chaim Soloveitchik could explain the Birchas HaTorah. The bracha on Torah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah of learning Torah. Or it's not a Shevach Vodah to praise Hashem that we have the Torah. It's a bracha that celebrates a lifestyle of La'asok B'Divrei Torah, that places Torah as the centerpiece of the person's day. It's the depth of why the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, that after the Yom HaDin, the men will go before a Kadosh Baruch and they'll be asked, Kevata Itin LaTorah. The most important question was, did you set time for learning Torah? Not how many hours did you learn Torah. That's not what I'm asking in Shemayim. Right? We have, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, we're going to be asked a quiz at the end of our life. And we know the questions on the test. That's remarkable, right? You know what the questions on the test are going to be. And one of the questions are, you know, were you honest in business? Were you mitzapa Yoshua? Did you try to raise a family? But the first question is going to be, Kavat Itim the Torah. Did you set time for learning Torah? That's the most important thing. Not how many hours, or did you have a morning, night Seder, and, you know, afternoon Seder. The most important thing, did you set time for learning Torah? And that time for learning Torah was unmovable, except in rare circumstances. But that time for Torah was unmovable, and they kept to that. That is the central point. The Torah is the centerpiece. It is the linchpin of the person's life. This will then impact the behavior and the midos of the Ben Torah. The Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem that learning Torah is accessing Gilui Shechina, Kvod Shemayim. In a sense, it's plugging into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Matan Torah was a marriage with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we became closer to Hashem by receiving the Torah. It allows us an intimacy between us and the Borei Olam. And since Olam Haba is that experience of infinite joy and infinite closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, as we'll see in a moment, the learning of Torah is the key to Olam Haba. You have to learn Torah in order to have Olam Haba. And the Ramchal explains that the Kinyan HaTorah, acquiring Torah, comes through effort and making sacrifices, and it only comes through working on our midos. And therefore, a true Ben Torah is going to be a better husband, a better son, a better father, a better friend. And he also has the inner peace that tells him, Lule so rascha sha'ashuai azavadati bani. If it was not for Torah, I'd be lost. That he understands that Torah makes him to a better person, improves him as an individual, and raises him up to be a better Eved Hashem. Which then leads to a common question, which is, how are you supposed to judge if someone's a Ben Torah? Right? It's a fair question, right? How are you supposed to judge? So there are two answers here. You can judge in midos, in speech, in refinement, 100%. If it's a refined person who speaks in a pleasant way, who treats you nicely, and has good midos, that's probably a good indicator of a Ben Torah. If not, and they're callous, and they make sarcastic comments, and they put people down, and they don't treat people with respect, it's probably a good indicator that they are not a Ben Torah. I don't care how many hours they are in the Beis Medrash, they are not a Ben Torah. L'kol hadeos. Okay, is that clear? The thing that you cannot judge, though, is his yediyas haTorah. You're not in a place to make that distinction. You cannot fehear your husband or the person you're dating and say, how many black amar does he know, and how many hours is he in the Beis Medrash, and does he know, you know, Mesil Sesharim backwards and forwards, and how many Simanim Mishubur has he learned? You are not in a place to do it. It's simply not. It's not possible. You can't do it on a date. You can't do it at a Shabbos table. It's out of your, you know, realm to do. And in those cases, when it comes to Yediyas HaTorah, and is this the type of person who is going to be Koveya Itim? Is this the type of person when he leaves Yeshiva in the Kol, is he going to be taking Torah seriously? So there, You need to rely on what a Rebbe says, what a Rosh Hashiva says, what a Chavrusa says, reputation. Those things are important. I'm not saying that it's a guarantee. There is a little bit of a, I don't say a gamble, but there's a little bit of a bitachon that comes in here. Based on what you see in front of you, and based on the young man that you have presented before you, and based on what you know about him, you have to assume that it's going to go forward. This is going to be a Ben Torah, after later on in life as well. You're simply not in such a place to make a judgment call about how he is as a learner. You can't make that decision based on where you sit in the relationship. Which leads to a side point, which is that your husband is not supposed to be your chavrusa. That needs to be clear. He is not there to be your personal inspirational speaker. To, be mechazik you with a geshmak dvar Torah, and then to, by the Shabbos, able to give a shir klali, and then to, by the shal shudas, then to have a kumzitz for you. That's not his job. And that's not what he's supposed to be. So many people, some young men who are learning, are very pnimi in their avodas Hashem and their learning. They don't wear it on their sleeve. They don't take a banner out and say, I learned Tublat today, and I love Torah, and I heard the most geshmak word from the Rosh Yeshiva, and my chavrusa told me something incredible. Not every Ben Torah is like that. Some people are more pnimi. They're more internal. They keep it inside, and they keep it in the base medrash, but the way they act and the way they treat people will show that they are, in fact, a Ben Torah. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia, in the second parak, that there are three things that a tsurba mirabanan, that a ben Torah is allowed to lie about. And one of those things is the masechta that he learns. What does that mean? He's allowed to say, somebody asked him, I have a question on Masechta Shabbos. Do you know the sugya? You ever learn this Gemara for it? And if he did and he knows it, he's allowed to say, no, sorry, I'm not familiar. Why? Because his personal avodas Hashem is nobody else's business. He doesn't want to talk about how much he knows. And the Gemara sees it as a mila. The Gemara sees it as a plus. He doesn't have to announce the entire world. Someone who is internal and keeps their avodas Hashem and does not parade it around for everybody to see, I think is a plus. Personally, I think that's a mila. Not that he has to be jumping on the tables and have the most expressive type of avodas Hashem. The Gemara says, we've discussed this in other places as well, if Dessler has an idea about the conversation between Yaakov and Rachel and Leah before he left Laban's house. But the Gemara says in Sukkah that Hillel HaZaken had a number of Talmidim. And it says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least of Hillel's Talmidim, the katan of all the Talmidim. And Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, who wrote the Targum on Navi, was the greatest. How great was Yonasan ben Uziel that when he was learning Torah, there would be a fire above his head, and any bird that came by would be burnt up from his fire. Right? That's pretty intense. Okay? I think we could agree. It's probably an intense young man, that birds who fly over their head, get burnt up. I'll just tell you a side comment, not our point right now. But Rav Yaakov Galinsky, who was Rosh Yivin Arsoel, he would say, that's the meaning of why many people go to Amuka, to the Kever of Yonas ben Uziel, to Davin, for a Shidduch. Why? Because all the little birdies in their head that tell them all the dumb things to do, you should go to Amuka and all burn up, okay? And they should be normal, okay? So, but what about Yochanan? What about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? He was the Gadol Ador. Your Yonas ben Uziel was not the Gadol Ador. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the cousin of the Talmidim of Hillel, was the Gadol Ador. So what happened? So the Bali Musar say, because it's very, very chashuv that a person is intense and wearing their sleeve and they have their ruchnias outside. It's very, very nice. But you know it's even more impressive? To have all that and to keep it inside. To have all of that fire and passion, and then also to be a Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who's humble, who's quiet, who gets things done, who leads Klal Yisrael, and doesn't have to be at the front of everything. That is also a very big mila as well. You're not dating and marrying a finished project. And that is so, so critical. Just because you have an image of your head of what this is a Ben Torah, this is a great rabbi, or this is a person that you look up to, the 20-something-year-old individual, or 30-something, whoever is going to marry, is not a finished product. And you have to appreciate that and be okay with that. He's hopefully going to grow and become more and finish more Masechtas and learn more and become even greater. But you cannot look at somebody who's in their 20s and say, but he's not like this and he hasn't done this. And what? And who has? Baruch Hashem, you have many, many years to grow together, and they'll do many more things. But it's not fair to look at a person and say, but they're not this, they're not that. Do they have the trajectory to be there? Do they have the potential to be there? Are you able to be an Azer Kenegdo to assist them to get there? 100%. But they're not a finished product. And you have to be fair to them in that regard as well. The last point about Ben Torah is that the Ben Torah must have a Rebbe. He must have someone they turn to. If the person is saying, like, I don't know, what I figure on my own, and like, you know, every once in a while, maybe I'll call somebody, you know, every once a year, it's not enough. You want to have somebody who has Hadracha, who is Machshiv, a Rebbe, who has a Masorah, who turns to someone with Shilas, not saying every single, like, question, like, you know, I have a, should I wear a blue shirt, or like, maybe like a pink shirt, or like a white shirt, like, that, those are silly things. I mean questions like, I have a question, a real question in Halacha, a real question in Machshava, in Hashkava, and I have someone I turn to. It's very important that a Ben Torah have someone like that. And if he's divorced himself of all, you know, I don't need anybody, I do my own thing, I would say that's probably a question, a red flag to be raised as well about his status as a Ben Torah. Okay, we have a lot more to go, so let's keep on going, okay? Whoa, okay. Let's talk about, just a side point before we continue, the idea of starting marriage with the husband learning. I think that in this day and age, if it is possible, every couple, if they're able to, should try to start and begin their marriage with the husband in some form of learning, if possible. It creates a strong foundation for the rest of the marriage. It's not always feasible. It's not always applicable. Work issues, financial issues, family issues, whatever it is. And I'm not saying anyone who doesn't is not a Ben Torah. But what I am saying is that if you can start your marriage with Torah being the center of the house in a very real, tangible way, when you cool off after that intense time learning Torah, there's going to be a dip. So the higher you start up with intensity, when that dip does come, because eventually we're human beings and we have to take a breath at some point, a person has to go to work, and a person has to, they're going to burn out at a certain point, whatever it may be. You need to want to go as high as you can. So when there is a cool off point, you start at a very high level. Does that math make sense? Everyone understands this, right? So if it's feasible and it can be done and it's possible to make a sacrifice for a year or two, whatever it is, I think it is something worthy that should be considered if possible. Let's talk about the role of the wife in all of this and the sacrifice and the support of the wife. I want to share with you two Gemaras. The Gemaras are similar, but they're saying different things. I want to be clear as well before we start. This is Hashkafas HaTorah. This is not Yeshivish. It's not Haredi. It's not modern Orthodox. It's not chauvinistic. It's not anti-feminist. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says. I'm only here to report the news. Okay? That's all I'm here. Let's begin. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Amar le Rabbi Chia. Rav says to Rabbi Chia, Nashim b'mai zechayin. What is the zechus of the woman? What's the context of the Gemara? And this is critical, because if you take this Gemara out of context, you're not going to appreciate what's going on over here. The longer discussion the Gemara is about the zechus of Olam Haba. That's what it's about. It's about the zechus of Olam Haba. Rishach likes to point out that what we see from the Gemara is that Olam Haba is not just for, it's not for good Jews who are nice people and do the right thing. Olam Haba is for people who learn and support Torah. That's what the Gemara is saying. The whole Gemara about B'mai Zechayin, what is the Zechus, is about learning and supporting and your connection to Torah. That's Pasha. That's Pasha Pshat on the Gemara. Okay? The Chida writes in the Pesach Einayim, it could be referring to Tchiyas HaMeisim, Rav Chanan Wasserman says the same thing. The Gemara answers, Ba'akruei Banayu Lebei Knista. The woman, the man is learning Torah, so he has his chelek in Olam Haba. The woman's chelek is ba'akruy banayu lebeik nisa, when she goes and she brings her children to yeshiva. Uba'asunayu gavrayu be'rabanan, and when she waits for her husband to come home from the yeshiva. When she sends her husband to the yeshiva, v'natron legavrayu da'asu b'nei be'rabanan, and when she waits for her husband to come back from yeshiva as well. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Chovas HaShmira, plenty of women do mitzvos. But why is it that they need this specific merit for Olam Haba? And the Chafetz Chaim says that even though women have many, many mitzvos, but everyone needs the Zechus HaTorah. And without the Zechus HaTorah, you cannot have a chelek in Olam Haba. There's a similar Gemara in Maseches Sota Dan Chaf Aleph. La'olam Zechus HaTorah. Really, it is the Zechus HaTorah that helps a person. Ukadamart Aina Matsuva Yosin Hibidakude Lamifkta Biigra de Mekiran Isnayu Banayu Nitran Lahu Gavrayu Adaos Midrasha. So he says, what the zechus of the woman? Where does she get this connection? It's again by bringing the children to yeshiva and waiting for her husband to come home from the Beis Medrash. Milo Palgo Bahadayu, says the Gemara, it's a complete 50-50 split with the husband. Whatever Torah the husband learns is an automatic 50-50 split with Schar with the wife. We find this nowhere else. There's a machlokas about Yisachar Zvulin. How much does the Yisachar give up to the Zvulin if you have a contract with regard to supporting Torah? Here in the Gemara, without question, it is clear. There's no equivocations. Without a suffix, the Gemara says, a wife that allows her husband to learn gets 50% of the schar off the bat. Done. In the bank. Without question. The Chafetz Chaim has an idea. This is in the biography of Chafetz Chaim, and Rav Chanan Wasserman elaborates as well. The Chafetz Chaim says, well, what about, and Rav Chanan Wasserman says this as well, what about the woman's own Torah, right? The woman learns Torah, so that should be her schos in Olam Haba. And we'll come back to this of the woman's learning Torah on her own in a little bit. But the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chanan Wasserman make a very strong point. I have to think about it more, and there's more what to discuss about it, but they make a very strong point. And the point that they make is that a man is mitzvah v'osa. A man is commanded in learning Torah. A woman is eina mitzvah v'osa. She's not commanded in the overall mitzvah of agisa bo yom v'layla. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim Rav Chanan Wasserman, technically, on a numbers game, a woman gets more schar when her husband learns because she gets 50-50 equal split of his schar. And his schar is technically more because he is mitzvah v'osa. He's commanded in the midst of Torah. A woman, and we'll talk about the chashivas of women on their own, and I don't need to sit here and talk about the chashivas of women on their own. We've spoken about this many, many years in different places, and I am proud to teach in the Eske High School for Girls. It's obviously a very chashiv thing. I'm not here to defend that today. But the schar is greater on a technical level because a man is mitzvah v'osa. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chanan Wasserman say that the greater zchus for her connection to Torah comes through the husband learning. And it's chashav for her to learn Torah, she should. But on a pure numbers game of Olam Haba, there's more schar in the splitting the schar with the husband. What's the mechanism behind this zchus? What is behind what's going on over here? So Rashi says that the wife deserves a special merit for waiting for her husband to return from learning Torah in another city. Another city? What do you mean? Well, he's going to the Yeshiva Gadol at night. He's going to the shul. Why does he have to go to another city? So the explanation is that it's the sacrifice that goes into it. If she's going to go about her business, and she's going to go to shir at night, and she's going to go see her mother, and she's going to make a phone call, and she's going to work on a tztach, whatever it is, and she's going to relax and read a book, and then he's going to go to nights, and he's going to come back. So then, where's the mesiras nefesh? You did your thing, I did my thing, and we each had a pleasant night. Rashi's saying there needs to be a mesiras nefesh. There needs to be an idea that she is sharing because she's doing something on behalf of her husband. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Rishis HaLaila that it's a form of gedolah shimusha shel Torah. The Gemara says in Brachos that shimusha shel Torah, the serving of Torah, is greater even than the learning of Torah in some respect. This is it. When she allows her husband to go learn and supports him in that endeavor, so that's a form of Shimush HaTorah. She's serving the Torah and putting the Torah on a pedestal as well. Rav Nassim Sifinkel, Rosh Yeshiva Demir, writes in Hesichos and Bashas Baloscha that the Mesiras Nefesh is because the Gemara says in Kedushin that companionship is very important for a woman. The companionship of her husband is a very chashuv thing. And if she's willing to forego that companionship for a couple of hours, for a little bit, so that's a tremendous amount of Mesiras Nefesh. And if he's able to go to learn and knows that his wife is besimcha about his learning, he doesn't have to think about what's going on at home, and he knows that she's happy about it in the Beis Medrash, then that's what generates the chus, because he's able to learn benachas, because he doesn't think like, oh my gosh, my wife is so annoyed at me, or she's stressed out at home, and that allows that chus to be generated as well. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld told his wife that it's a davar pashtim, that his wife is going to have a chelek in Olam Haba. Why? Because she did her best to ensure that he would be able to learn. Whether or not he actually learned well, and I assure you he did, but whether or not he actually learned well that's a suffix in his mind. Maybe I did learn well. Maybe I did pass the Mishnah correctly. That's what, regardless. But if the woman allows the husband to go learn, and she's Moser Nefesh for his time learning, that's money in the bank for her Olam Haba. On his, whether he learned well or he paid attention to the Daf Shiur, well, that's on his Cheshbon. So Yosef Chaim Zonneveld told his wife, when you get to Olam Haba, please, 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 Daven, I should make it in. Because I don't know if I'm going to be Zocha, but I know for sure you're going to be Zocha. That's the level that he saw this Mesiras Nefesh at. The Zohar says that the husband and the wife are one guf, and each part of the body helps and assists the other part in order to achieve the best possible results. Every couple is different, and every wife needs more time or less time help from the husband. And each couple functions differently, and there's no reason to feel bad. Some husbands will learn more, some will learn less, but what's critical is to not compare situations to somebody else. Oh, this one does this, this one does that. It's terribly unhealthy, and don't get involved in that game. But it's critical at the end of the day that the husband have some time to learn. Just to add to this point, Rav Yonasan Ibishitz writes in the Aras Devash in the first Drasha that he thinks the Gemara is not talking about the Zuchus of Olam Haba, it's talking about the fighting Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says in Kedushin that without Torah, you can't fight Yetzer Hara. But if a woman's not learning that much Torah, how can she fight Yetzer Hara? So Rav Yonasan Ibishitz says, when the husband learns Torah, whatever it does for his fighting Yetzer Hara, it does just the same for the wife's fighting Yetzer Hara as well. And that's the level that this goes to as well. There are exceptions, and a talk for another time would be about how to make these balances in the house, and shalom bayis and things like that. I'll just tell you one of my favorite stories. Rishon Shadron told the story of the grandson of the Chafetz Chaim who learned in Lakewood in the 1950s, 1960s, and he was a tremendous master. It was really a very special time with Chacham. But he would always come to morning Seder in Lakewood at, close to 10 o'clock every day. Close to 10 o'clock every day. Now, Lakewood in the 50s and the 60s was maybe 100 people. Now, if you don't walk in the morning Seder in Lakewood, who's gonna notice? There's 10,000 people there. But now, then, you don't walk in, people are going to notice. So the Mashkiach, Rav Eliezer Bachvogel, and Rav Nosson Bachvogel, and Rav Aaron Cutler, they began to be bothered by this. Where's this grandson of the Chafetz Chaim? He's not coming on time. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. He's a smart guy. It didn't make any sense. So finally, one day, they went over and said, what's going on? Every day you walk into morning, say they're late. It's a difficult situation. Gotta get yourself together, be machazik yourself. Like, what's going on? What's going on? So he said, I apologize, just that every day on my way to the yeshiva, I see that there's a woman who doesn't have her husband at home, and she's outside the house talking about how difficult it is to get the kids dressed for school. She has nobody to, feed the kids and to take care of them. So I stop every day, and I, help this one get dressed for school, I help this one, get breakfast ready, help this one prepare to get to school, to yeshiva on time. And by the time I'm ready, it just takes time to get here. So Rav Aaron Cutler said, oh my gosh, who is this woman? We'll collect money for her, we'll get somebody to do chesed for her, to help her out in the morning, but I feel terrible, what's the situation here? So he said, oh, it's my wife. My wife needs help in the morning, and she needs help to get the kids out in the morning, and she needs the kids to get breakfast, and she needs this one to be diapered, to be changed, and okay, I need help. And they got the message, and they left it alone after that. But that's all, it's important as well. And then shalom bayis in the marriage needs to know how do we balance the mesiras nefesh for Torah and what needs to be taken in the home. And that's a discussion to have, at another time when it becomes comes the maisa. So I want to end with two other comments. Sacrifice doesn't mean bad. We have this idea in our minds that if I make a sacrifice for something and I'm moser nefesh for this thing, it means that I'm going to be a miserable, sorry soul. And I'm going to be bitter about it. It doesn't mean being miserable. If you are connected to all the ideas we said above, and your machshav Torah, and the chashivas haTorah, and having a ben Torah, and having Torah in the home, and you feel the Talmud Torah is the worthiest cause in the world, there can be simcha sachayim in allowing your husband to take the time to learn, and to, motivating him to learn as well. Now, you have to encourage your husband to learn, and you should. It's not your job to be his mashkicha. He doesn't want to hear, oh my gosh, you're 5 minutes late to Seder. That's not going to be helpful for anybody. And this is not a Shalom Bayis shmooze, but it's important to keep that in mind. The goal is not to be the mashkicha, to make sure. It's done in an encouraging way. It's done in a happy way, besimchaduk way. And we'll talk about those etzos in a second. A sacrifice in life, as Rav Hirsch writes in his writings, can be a se'ir la'azazel or a se'ir la'Hashem. If you view the sacrifice as being meaningless and have no value, it'll be a se'ir la'azazel. It's just going to be for nothing, and it's going to be a living gehenim, and you're going to be miserable about it. But if you take that same goat, the identical goat that matches the other one on Yom Kippur, and you dedicate it to something that's worthy, and you see the value of what you're doing, that same goat becomes a se'ir la'Hashem. If you see that there's something chashem, there's something important in the Torah, and hopefully we've defended the Torah enough today to see that having Torah be the primary center of a home is something that's worthy, then that will be a se'ir la'Hashem, not a se'ir la'Azazel. The Gemara says in Erevin that Tov la'adam shelo nivra misha nivra. They voted and they decided it was actually better for a person to not have been born. Noach la'adam shelo misha nivra. It was Noach. It was better for a person to not have been born because this world is so difficult than to have been born. So the Sod Yesharim of Gershon Henoch Liner, the Radziner Rebbe, writes in the Sod Yesharim, the name of his father, the Meir Shiluach, that the Gemara does not say Tov la'adam. It was good for a person not to have been born. It says Noach lo la'adam, to not to have been born. The place from which we have come, to which we'll ultimately return to, is more Noach. It's more easy, it's more convenient, it's more comfortable. It's clearly Tov that we have come into this world. But our job here is not to be Noach. The job here is not to be relaxed and easy and to guide through life going from one restaurant on Central Avenue to another, and to go from one vacation to another. That's not our purpose in this world. The purpose is not to be Noach. The purpose is to be Tov. And if you see that that is a value, and there are sacrifices, things are difficult, but it's worthy, something that's a seal Hashem, it will be better for you. Ulekarban ekrav es nafshi. If I'm willing to dedicate my nefesh to something that's worthy to bring a korban Hashem, then you'll feel that this is something that brings you in touch, and you're fulfilling a tafkid, and you're coming close to something that's worthy of your time and your effort. So, what are the etzos I can give you? The first thing is to learn about the chashivas of Torah. Understand why Torah is so important. Read, learn, investigate, listen about why Torah is such an important thing for a Jewish household and for the husband to learn. Mrs. Kamenetsky told me an interesting idea. She said that you can appreciate the value of what your husband does in learning by also connecting to your own learning. If you have a chashivas haTorah and you see that Torah is important for you, then kal v'chomer, how much more so, you'll see for your husband as well. The more you connect, and the more, I'm not saying you should have a morning seder or a night seder. What I'm saying is that the more you connect and you see that Torah is a beautiful thing and it's a beautiful thing, you'll see and you'll appreciate exactly what the person is doing as well. And express to the person how chashiv the Talmud Torah is, and express to the individual how it impacts you and the family, and it's something that's valuable, and you celebrate the learning of Torah, and it makes the house a better place, and it makes the marriage a better place, and all those things can encourage and be involved to support and to bring that dream closer and closer every single day.